The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Well, good morning, friends. The Lord be with you. Would you please pray with me? Father God, today we're kicking off a new series, Getting Past Your Past. And Lord, you're the one who actually frees us. You're the one who brings us into a new life and a new destiny, a new future. And Lord, it's all because of what Jesus has done and is doing in us. So Lord, do what you do today. Pour out your Holy Spirit into our hearts, Lord, so we leave this place changed. In his name, amen. Well, today, friends, breaking the labels that bind us. So I think we put labels on things so we can sort them and then so we can find them. Could you imagine going to a library without a label on it? Trying to find something would be disaster. But we also use labels to describe people. And we're going to do this little game now where I'm going to talk to connect some famous people's names with their labels. Okay, a couple of English kings. King Richard the Lionheart. King William the Conqueror. Attila the Conan the Billy the Jabba the Hutt. It's for you Star Wars people. Winnie the, yeah, a bit unfortunate that one. The most famous Australian outlaw. The first woman Prime Minister of Australia. Julia Gillard. Okay, some sporting ones. Who is the guy that said, I am the greatest? Muhammad Ali. Okay. We'll go back a little bit further in history. Who was the hurricane? Anybody know? Here comes the story of the hurricane. That's the one we're talking about. Reuben Carter was his name. Good movie about that. Okay. Who is the greatest swimmer of all time? Michael Phelps. Who is currently over 100 metres the fastest man on earth? It's not me. He's also the fastest man in history, doing the 100 metres in 9.58 seconds. Okay, entertainment. Who was first called the king of rock and roll? Who is the boss? Yep. Who is the Terminator? Arnie Schwarzenegger. Rightio. So labels, names, sometimes about what people are famous for. However, names can also be labels that people put on us to put us down. It might refer to our physical features. Big nose, big ears, baldy. If you've always been skinny, you're probably called Bones or Bony Maroney or something like that. My brother had a mate. His nickname was Stickman. Stickman. I've never been skinny. When I was a real little kid, I was just a little bit podgy, but I had one auntie that always called me Fatty. Oh, gee, I hated that. Hated that. Well, her years have gone and she's sort of put on a little bit. And I shouldn't get as much pleasure out of that as I do. I haven't sort of done the obvious, like, who's the male? Okay, those labels, they can be racial slurs. Some of you know I grew up in a little English village that had lost a lot of its sons in two world wars. And when I started primary school, I was the only kid with a German surname. So I got things like Nazi, Hitler, Gestapo, SS, people doing this, you know. And, that bullying continued into my early high school years. And when I was a kid, I couldn't for the life of me work out why. No one chooses their surname. I was born in Australia. My dad even did national service within the Australian Army. And then you might have seen the recent remake of Roots about the African slave trade. And I was again reminded that as soon as you put a label on someone, you can treat them in all sorts of hideous and brutal ways. And in doing that, it not only dehumanizes those people, but it also dehumanizes the people who do it. I think the Indigenous people of Australia know something about that too. Labels, they can often refer to the things we're not good at or a track record of personal failures. Maybe sometime in the past, someone called you something, put a label on you, and like an evil curse, that label stuck. Maybe for a season, maybe for decades. And maybe even today, when someone addresses you with that label, it still shames you, humiliates you, belittles you, and fills you with pain. Let me ask you, what is the negative label that goes with your name? Maybe it's one of the seven dwarfs, grumpy, sneezy, or dopey. Or perhaps stupid, fool, idiot, buffhead. Maybe it's klutz, or clumsy, or wrecker. Maybe it's loser, lazy, bum, couch potato, good for nothing. Maybe it's doormat or mouse. Maybe it's aggro, hothead, bully, tyrant, dictator. Maybe it's motor mouth, smart aleck, clown. Maybe you've got a reputation for being the wild one or the loose one or the party animal. Maybe the drunk, the glutton. Or maybe there's some names that have come on to you that you actually put on yourself because of your track record. The alcoholic, the workaholic, the porn addict, the shopping addict. Maybe you've never been great nor horrible at anything. Maybe you've always been labelled as average. And maybe you've actually never given yourself permission to shine in something. Oh, I'm just average. Perhaps you define yourself or have resigned yourself to always being the one who is the label. You know, if you believe you're good for nothing, chances are you're going to live to that. Friends, today it's the day to tear up the labels. Those labels do not define who you are or who God made you to be. We need to discover God's truth about who we are, and God's truth comes to us most clearly in His Son Jesus. And friends, God's truth about who you are in Christ is greater and more powerful than any label that's been put on you, any label that you've put on yourself, or any whispering lie of the evil one. Today we're going to look at three ways that God frees us from those labels that bind us. And the first is the most important. I'm going to labor it a bit, but it's this. God gives you a new identity in Christ. A couple of verses in John chapter 1 talking of Jesus. He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. Friends, Jesus got labeled too. What are some of the labels that people put on Jesus, people who didn't like Him? Call some out. What were some of the labels? Friend of sinners. Any others? A blasphemer? A glutton? a drunkard, a Samaritan, a lawbreaker or an outlaw, as one unclean, as one under the influence of Beelzebub, a demon. He was despised and rejected. In fact, all the labels from our wrongdoing got stuck to Jesus and were nailed to the cross. Jesus knows what it's like to be cursed, rejected, humiliated, mocked, tormented, and murdered. Jesus knows our pain. But here's the thing. God's power to bless is greater than any label or curse. Jesus rose to life again and shares his victory and destiny with us. And out of that victory, I can declare to you, in Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. And in Jesus' name, I can declare to you who put your hope in him, you have a new label, a new identity, and that is a loved and forgiven child of God. We're going to bang in some verses here. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become. They are reborn, not with a physical birth, but a birth that comes from God. Did you hear that? Do you believe that? Right? Because it could be absolutely true, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to work in your life. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yes. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, writes John in one of his letters, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is who we are. Friends, this is God's truth for you in Jesus that needs to soak into your heart, transform your mind, and bring renewal to your soul. That's the truth. God's truth about you. Paul says the same thing. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So when God looks at you, he sees dearly loved and forgiven son, dearly loved and forgiven daughter. That's who you are and whose you are. Friends, God put his name on you when you were baptized. God claimed you as his own. I'm going to put my label, my name on you. You belong now to me. And with that, he joined you to Jesus and adopted you into his family so you can be his now and forever. Nothing can change that unless you reject that. Friends, in baptism, God has trumped and trashed every other label that's ever been put on you to put you down. And that new label is loved and forgiven child of God. As you receive that label and live in the security of that relationship, all those past labels just unpeel and fall by the wayside. Instead, we keep living out a new identity. The new person we now are in Christ. Paul says anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life, it's gone. A new life has begun. Friends, that newness of life is available to you and me and to everyone. The curse that held you back or has held you back can be broken by the authority of Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Well, how do we appropriate that freedom? Two basic steps. First is renounce that label in the name of Jesus. So let's just say this together. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the label or curse that I am fill in the blank. Okay? If you're not able to do it now, do it when you get home. Because God might bring some things to you you need to get rid of. Those old labels you need to peel off and tear up. Friends, a good thing to think of when you're doing that is to tear that label off and just dump it at the foot of the cross of Jesus where all our other rubbish is. And friends, there might be some stuff you need to come clean with God about. Well, just do that. Confess your sins to God. Receive his forgiveness. You can do that by yourself. Or sometimes it's good to do it with a trusted Christian friend or pastor Somehow it's powerful to hear that word of forgiveness spoken to us. Now the second thing is to get rid of the old. We've got to get now put on the new. Affirm your new identity in Christ. We're going to say this as a typo. I declare that should be. So let's say that together. I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I am a loved and forgiven child of God. I am free from condemnation. I have been anointed and sealed by the Holy Spirit. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's masterpiece created for good works. Is that the truth? And how does that truth make you feel inside? I think it builds you up. You go, yeah, that's right. It's not all this other rubbish. This is what it is. Here's another one, a different example that I often use in the morning when I'm doing my walk as I go back to my baptism. Let's say this one together. By the power of the Holy Spirit, today I will follow Jesus Christ as my Lord, bringing glory to my Heavenly Father, whose child I am. Amen. It's just remembering who and whose I am. Because when I'm secure in that, I don't have to worry about all this other rubbish. Martin Luther often went through bouts of severe depression. Sometimes they would last for months. And in the midst of his depression, sometimes he'd just cry out, "But I am baptized." He would remember who and whose he was, and it would give him courage to do the next thing. Okay, number two. God gives you a new purpose in Christ. With your new identity, a new person, you have a new purpose. You see, Jesus comes into your heart and he is the great renovator. He puts broken people back together again. And as you do life together with Jesus, inevitably there will be change. A change of heart, a change of mind, a change of character, a change of values, and a change of purpose. We see that happening in the ministry of Jesus and among countless people since who have thrown their lot in with him. Today I want to talk a little bit about Simon the fisherman. Simon and his brother Andrew were fishing, and one day Jesus comes up and says, "Come, follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people." Jesus has a new purpose in mind for Simon. Now, if you read about Simon in the New Testament, Simon is bold, petulant, impulsive. He's the sort of guy that engages his mouth, puts his mouth into gear before engaging his brain. He's the sort of guy that acts first and thinks later. One day, Jesus gives Simon a new name, and with that name, new name, a new purpose. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Up until that point, had Peter proved himself to be a rock? Anything but. He keeps writing checks that his character can't handle. Except for that time he was a rock, he went out of a boat and he took some steps on the water. And he got spooked by the wind and he sank like a rock. But apart from that, he was a disaster. We get later on in the story. Jesus is talking about dying. Peter says, "No, you can't die. You're the Messiah. You're supposed to go up to Jerusalem and rule. Get behind me, Satan." Get later in the story. We're getting up to the time of the Last Supper. Jesus is talking about the fact that he's going to die again. Peter says, "Well, Jesus, I'll stick with you. You and me, Jesus, we're really tight. No matter what happens, I'm prepared to die with you." A few hours later, what happens? Peter denies ever knowing Jesus three times. And in his failure, Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. Jesus isn't yet done with Peter. Jesus finds Peter, forgives Peter, restores Peter, and says, "Peter, get on there and do what I've called you to do." Several days later, it's Pentecost, and who does God choose as the visiting speaker for the day? Peter. Peter is the one who actually is probably most equipped to talk about failure and forgiveness. Peter says, hey, if you're carrying guilt and shame and labels of the past, Jesus forgives you. Receive Jesus and you can have a new life. In fact, you can have salvation. And on that day, 3,000 people put their hope and trust in Jesus and the church is born. Wind the clock forward a bit further. It's getting towards Peter's death and the Romans are going to crucify Peter. According to tradition, Peter says, I don't want to be crucified like my Lord Jesus. You turn me upside down and nail me to the cross. Friends, Peter didn't start off as a rock, but with the love and the truth of Jesus, he became a rock, yes? Friends, let me tell you that Jesus has done the same for me. If anyone had told me when I was 18 or 19 as a young adult, one day you're going to be a pastor, I would have laughed at them. I would have said, you are delusional or you're high on drugs. And two reasons why I would have replied like that. First of all, I thought that being a pastor was the worst job in the world. I'm not going to touch it with a 40-foot barge pole. But the main reason was this. I was totally unsuitable. How on earth could a lost and directionless, heavy drinking, heavy smoking, loud mouthed, obnoxious fool with his mind mostly in the gutter ever become a Christian pastor? Impossible. Within a couple of years after that, I'd started at seminary. And let me tell you that by the time I graduated, not all those things had changed. But 27 years later, most of them have. The love and truth of Jesus have changed the way I see myself and how I look at other people. Now I know who I am and whose I am. I'm no longer defined by those old labels. They don't stick anymore. Instead, I now look and see that Jesus has brought me into a new life where I am still growing into what it means to be a loved and forgiven son of the living God. And I get to tell people and point them to Jesus. Friends, only God can do something like that. And it still astounds me how God can take a broken, despised, rejected kid and make them into his messenger. Utterly astounding. Friends, what's God's calling in your life? How has God wired you to love and help and serve and bless others? What's the thing when you think about it excites you? Don't let labels from your past rob you of God's purpose for your life as a loved and forgiven child of God. Keep following Jesus and he will grow you into it. The third thing, and we're going to be quicker on this one, God gives you a new future in Christ. We've looked at Habakkuk the last few weeks. When Jerusalem laid in ruins, its temple and city wall torn down and people taken into exile, it seemed like Israel was over, you know, it was all over for Israel as a nation. You know, failed miserably, God threw them out, end of story. However, God gives this word of assurance through Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Friends, I believe that promise of God is true for every single person. No matter how shocking your past record has been, God plans to give you a hope and a future. In fact, God has a habit of using the most unlikely people for his future plans and purposes. Let me tell you about a lady in the Old Testament or a woman in the Old Testament named Rahab. We read about her earlier. What was the label of Rahab? Rahab, the prostitute. In some of your Bibles at home, it might say innkeeper. No, the word there is prostitute. Can you imagine what that did to her sense of self? I'm used goods. I'm only good for one thing, and there's never going to be any love in it. I will never have a good marriage. God could never love me after what I've been doing. One day, two Israelite spies come to Rahab's place. Their presence is reported to the king. The king sends some people round to Rahab's place. She hides the fellas up on the roof and tells them that they've gone. And later, she tells the spies, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you Israelites. In return for her kindness, she asks, will you spare me and my family? And the spies agree. Just make sure that you've got the scarlet ribbon in the window and you don't tell anybody. So Rahab ends up saving these two spies and saving her entire clan and family. But wait, there's more. You see, when she got to know the God of Israel, she became a new person with a new purpose and a new future. Rahab ends up joining the people of Israel, and she marries a guy from an Israelite guy called Salmon. Nothing fishy about that. Salmon and Rahab have a son, Boaz. He and a Moabite woman, Ruth, have a son called Obed, who has a son named Jesse, who has eight sons, and the eighth and youngest son, his name is David, who becomes king of Israel. And out of the line of David, Jesus, the Son of God, is born into this world as Lord and Savior of all. Wow, what a future God had in store for Rahab. And if God can do that for a person like Rahab, what can he do for you and me? Let's wrap up. Friends, finding your identity and security in Jesus, friends, that's the way to get rid of the labels that bind us. Doing life with Jesus, God gives you a new purpose. God will grow you into the person he's created you to be and call you to make a difference into the lives of others, because that's what Jesus does. And friends, no matter what your track record has been, no matter what labels have been put on you in the past, God has for you a hope and a future. And that hope and the future is not just about you. That hope and a future is about helping other people get to know Jesus so they too can have a future with him. And the people of God said, Amen. Father God, I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit and that this word could work in us and work through us and bring us into greater depth and breadth and height of freedom than we've ever known before. Lord, I pray that you would help us to work through those renunciations and affirmations, Lord. Whatever labels from the past have stuck to us and still injure or destroy us, Lord, they're not who we are. And I pray, Lord, that who we are in Jesus, loved and forgiven children of God, would fill us with a new sense of belonging, a new sense of identity, a new sense of purpose. And that because we're in that, Lord, we would be confident that you will keep your promise to give us a hope and a future in Jesus. Amen.